We celebrate this morning the Feast of the Holy Trinity. For many years now, I have privately called that the sad feast of the Holy Trinity. The sad feast. Why sad, you say? Isn't a feast supposed to be about happy? Isn't a feast supposed to be about family and friends and food and laughter and song? It is. But still, experience in my life has taught me that there is something indescribably sad about this feast. It is sad because too many Catholics, for most Catholics, I would probably say, the doctrine of the Trinity is a needless abstraction. It is a needless complication in our already complicated lives. Practically, we might just as well be Jewish, you and I, with their steadfast, strong loyalty in a world peopled with many gods, their strong loyalty for their one God. Practically, you and I, we might just as well be Muslims with their fierce loyalty to Allah. Practically, in practice, we might just as well belong to those faiths. The doctrine of the Trinity, I'm afraid, has very little, practically no appreciable effect in the way we pray, in the way we think, in the way we live our lives. Practically no effect. And that, my friends, is sad. It is sad, too, because the Lord from the beginning had an exceptional secret to share with us. It took the Lord a long, long time. And I tend to think of it this way in my imagination. It took him a long, long time to gather up the courage to say to us what was most important to him. The mighty Abraham appeared in what is now the Holy Land in about the year 1850 BC. The revelation that we know began at that time. 600 years later, the mighty Moses appeared on the scene to rescue the Lord's people, the children of Abraham, from their enslavement in Egypt. You know all the rest of the story. The Judeo-Christian revelation begins at that time. And that is a long, long time, ladies and gentlemen, from the creation of the world. Not till roughly 2000 BC did the Lord begin to reveal himself. From Abraham on, through all the erratic turns of Hebrew history, through all the erratic turns of Christian history, from Abraham on, the Lord had a secret to tell us, but all he ever gave us were hints, glimpses, tantalizing suggestions, like the first reading of the Mass today. It is a magnificent piece from the book of Proverbs. It is a magnificent piece of poetry. It is a magnificent piece of mystical relation with the Lord himself. I would urge you to take that reading to heart today. It took him a long, long time to gather up his courage and finally to trust us with his special secret. It's sad because when he did finally reveal himself to us, he was revealing the very deepest thing in him, the very deepest thing about him. He was revealing that he was not just an I. He was revealing that he was, in fact, a we. He is a community of persons in whose image we are made. There is diversity at the heart of God. And the best example that we have is the example that you all know, and today we celebrate the father of every family. The best example we have is the family. It is made in love. It is made by the choice of one for the other. And it grows in love as it deepens. And then there are children. We are made in the image and likeness of God. He is a community of love. He is a community of persons. And that is the deepest thing in him. And that's why, in the end, it is a sad feast. It's sad because we now know that the Lord was right in being slow about revealing the secret. He was right. We now know that the Lord was right to be shy about this deepest thing in him. He was right. You and I know about secrets. Secrets are things that we keep hidden for a variety of different reasons. Okay? Sometimes they are bad secrets. Sometimes we keep them hidden because we're embarrassed by them, ashamed of them. We feel guilty about them. Sometimes we do that. Okay? Sometimes, too, we keep them hidden because we are afraid of them. If we've had certain unfortunate things happen to us in our lives growing up, chances are we've sustained very many wounds that are deep, deep inside us. We don't like to look at them. We don't like to touch them. We don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to fix them. They overwhelm us. Sometimes we keep things hidden and they're bad things. But other times, we keep things hidden precisely because they are good things. Precisely because they are so deep in us, so much a part of who we are, that we want to protect them. We want to build a little wall around them. And we do that because we're afraid if we reveal this here or somewhere else, if we do this, somebody's going to be dismissive. You'll tell them the deepest thing in you and they'll say, that's nice. You think it's going to rain tomorrow? They dismiss it out of hand. That's the most important thing to you. You understand? They're dismissive. They will make light of it. They will ridicule it. And that's a very painful thing to happen. So the Lord was right. He was right to be slow. He was right to be shy. Because, ladies and gentlemen, look at what we have done with it. He told us that deep thing about him. We yawned. We looked at our watch. And we went on with our lives. We dismissed it out of hand. We make jokes about it, 3 and 1. See what we've done with it. Look how we have received what he told us. Look at what we've done with it. We've treated it not as the very precious, enormous gift that it is, that we treat it cavalierly as a needless, useless complication in our religious lives. That's why this feast to me seems to be a sad feast. Will it be a sad feast for you again next year? Tomorrow even? Next week? That's up to you. Will you take the time to understand this deep secret of God? Will you take the time to fill in the gaps of what you do not know? And will you take the time to sit in His presence, in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and allow them to wash over you with all their grace? You are the key to turning the sad feast into the happy feast it was meant to be.